Welcome to our November meeting. We got started with an executive session and Mariah prayed for us then. So let's just make sure we got everybody. Mariah, I assume you can see everybody to get them down in the meeting minutes. Is there anybody that's joining us by phone that we can't see?
Yeah, this is Vance.
Vance, welcome from Arizona, the land of the COVID.
Land of the what?
Land of COVID.
Well, you know, I think we're pretty much all in the same boat now, to tell you the truth.
I agree. Anybody else joining us by phone? All right, let's go ahead. Mariah, since you've got the agenda in front of you, I'm going to ask you and Kurt to unmute and kind of guide us through the process. I'll pull up the documents at the same time, but since you're taking notes, I'll let you kind of take the lead on leading us through the agenda and carrying on the discussion.
Okay, so our first item, well, our second item, rather, is a presentation and approval of the meeting minutes by Kathy, then the treasurer report by Joe, and then the office report by myself, followed by Kurt with the property management report.
All right, Kathy, the floor is yours.
Okay, I reviewed the rest of the board members. I'm assuming you did. I made a few changes, but at this point, I'm okay with anybody have any questions?
I looked at the meeting minutes, and they looked accurate to me.
Okay. Then I propose we pass them, accept them.
Anybody opposed to accepting and the meeting minutes as have been shared with us by Kathy? Looks like the voting, other than John, who is obviously not present, is in favor. So let's go ahead and accept those meeting minutes. All right. I'm looking for my agenda. So go ahead, Mariah. The next,
yes.
I think, is the financial report by Joe.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Financial report looks pretty good. We've got 97.7% of our association dues paid for. We're looking really good in that area. The checking account has, I show it at $77,500. Mariah said it was $77,200 now, so that's changed a little, which is normal. We've got $59,118 in our savings and $4,200 in the other savings, so we're looking really good. We got 2 months to go. I've went through the QuickBooks the other day, and I was quite impressed with the amount of money that we've been saving in different areas. We've got like on gas and oil and diesel and fuel, we were budgeted for $1,000 on laundry. We only spent $650. We budgeted $3,000 for propane. We're into it $1,100. We budgeted $8,500 for gasoline. We're only into it $2,700. And we budgeted $3,000 for diesel fuel. We're only into it $600. And clear across the board, since Kurt's been in charge, we've definitely doing better off on saving some money in a lot of areas. So I don't have any problems or any complaints with anything going on. We're all within our budget, it looks like, within reason on a couple of things we're off, but not much. Like cabin 3 was higher than I thought, but overall we're looking good. What else did I have here? We had 14,000 budgeted for reservations. We collected 18,162, so we're doing good there. We're doing good all the way across the board. Anybody got any questions? Other than that, until Mariah comes up with hers, I think we're in good shape, and I pass it on.
Great. Let's turn the time over to Mariah for the office report. And before you're finished with the office report, Mariah, let's talk a little bit about next year's, finishing out this year's budget and next year's budget and how we want to handle that. So if you can work that into your report.
Okay, great. My office report's pretty basic. We just have several members who are selling their lots and new members joining us. We'll have a full report at the end of the year. I anticipate by the end of the year we'll probably have about 30 lot changes this year. Reservations are winding down and have been very successful. Like Joe noted, we've brought in quite a bit of revenue, more than we planned on, so that's fantastic. The system itself is working really well, having a nightly rate. It's very simple. The other added thing that we've added to simplify reservations is the opportunity to pay by credit card link. So we now have a secure link that I can send out by email, and members can put their own credit card information in, so no longer are we required to keep credit card information. So that's a big plus. Other than that, I don't have anything else to report from the office unless there's any questions about that.
Let's talk for just a second about, I assume we're finished with all reservations in the cabins for the year, but please confirm that, or if we have people over Thanksgiving or Christmas or where we're at there. I know it's important that we talk, and maybe Kurt's going to cover the cabin reservations in his time, but just tell us where we're at on cabin reservations.
So cabin reservations right now, we've got a few that are on and off through the rest of November, and we have all the cabins booked for Thanksgiving. And then following Thanksgiving, we'll be closing down the rest of the cabins. I do have a request for a cabin use in December. So once those cabin reservations come in, I approve them with Kurt. And then there is a winterization fee once those cabins are closed down for us to unwinterize them and then to rewinterize them following the stay. But that is the only one I've received for winter so far.
Okay, and you'll just work that through with Kurt as far as scheduling and make sure that he's comfortable with accommodating those as they come up.
Perfect. As far as budgets for next year, we've sent out a request for the board members to submit their requested budgets for next year, not just maintenance budgets, but also budgets for special projects of things they'd like to accomplish. So that information is trickling in. Like Joe said, we have been very successful at retaining funds this year in the hope that we can create the forward movement Kurt talked about of having money in hand that we plan our budgets with rather than hoped for money. So that will give us a good start this year. Anything else on budgets?
No, I think everybody's done really great in not spending. We've spent in some areas and we've gotten some great projects done. Looking forward to keep the movement going with positive funds next year.
Good deal. Well, I have a question for Mariah, but looks like she stepped away for a second. So let's move ahead with any questions. Well, I guess we don't have any questions for Mariah. Hold on to those. All right, Mariah, you're back. You ready for some questions?
Yep.
Okay. So I'll explain my motivation here. I'm really hoping, or I would be really hopeful, that we could either have no meeting or a very short meeting in December. Is it possible for everybody to submit their budgets and have us go through and finalize next year's budget in our January meeting so that we can take the month of December off?
I can't speak for everybody else, but I think that would be great if that could happen. In fact, we talked about, I don't know if you mentioned it, but we talked about even taking first quarter to make that decision, and perhaps our fiscal year should be something more of the effect of February to February or March to March, something like that. So that would work great for me.
Does anybody have any objection to us discussing the overall budget in January rather than having it finalized by the end of the calendar year with everything we're going to be working through in December?
January just became my favorite month.
So what I would suggest is for each board member in your area, then you should be submitting a tentative or a request for your budget amounts, both maintenance and special projects, to Mariah and communicating with her during December, so that in January, then we already have a pretty good idea of where the budget's going to fall, and then we can just argue about who gets what money, where there's an overage rather than starting from scratch. That's going to take us spending some time on our own, and we're going to require some time with Mariah, but there's no reason for us to meet just to discuss. If you can submit what you have in your budget, what you feel like you need, and then we can, you know, hash it out in January, that would save us having to interrupt. I'm going to be gone in the first part of December, so I'd rather skip the meeting in December if possible. Any objections to that?
None.
Doesn't look like it. So let's plan on that tentatively. And also, when we get to the point and we start talking about the possibility of raising the assessments, that would give us, I think we still need to send out the request, the vote. That would give us some time in December to gather those votes. And then in January, based on what response we get from the membership, then the board, as a board, we can decide at the same time we're discussing the budget. Does that make sense?
So, Barry, a question then. That would mean that you would not raise the association dues for 2021?
I still think we need to. So that's why I'm asking if we can send out the ballots, but the formal decision would be made the second week in January rather than sometime in December.
So billing-wise, how would I handle that? I usually send that out middle of December. What are your thoughts on the billing for the association dues?
We might have to have a meeting just long enough to discuss the responses from the membership in order to make that decision, because I don't want to miss that window and have it postponed for a full another year. Any other board members have any insight, or anybody?
I just have a thought of on the raising of the assessments. There's been a lot of discussion in every direction about what it's for, and that seems to be the big contention. And I think that we need to make some solid goals for that money. For example, my thought, I just found out Joe and Brent have a solar system idea worked out where they can power cabins 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, I think that a leader project like that, and then maybe putting solar power to 3 cabins per year with an electric refrigerator would be something that'd be some positive that people can relate to and see a definite product for their additional expense.
Do you think that we have to identify those projects completely into the future to justify the increase, where we have so many projects that already remain unfunded and from year to year?
Well, yeah, you know, I just think that that's just an example. You know, I mean, I just think that between now and when we have this meeting in December, it would be great if we all did some thinking and put our heads together and came up with a solid, viable plan that people can say, oh, well, that makes sense.
Any thoughts from anybody else?
Well, I agree with Kurt on that. I don't think we should have to, but I think we should, because people are asking what the money is for. So let's give them a good reason, and that is a good reason. If we could save the propane usage, and also the propane repair, labor-wise and parts-wise, on 3 cabins, we can justify how much we can save over a period of 3 to 5 years. I think it's a valid point to do it, and that's maybe we should start with that kind of a suggestion.
I agree.
Mike, go ahead, Mike.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I know that was already part of the plan in terms of just expressing ideas or suggestions for things that money would be used for. The obvious ones are roads, cabins, but then some other, you know, specifics like Kurt is mentioning would be great, but I don't think we should tie it to any specific timeline.
basically just say these are some of the projects that we would hope to accomplish in the coming years, and let people see that, you know, this is the plan or the objective without tying anything to a specific date or time frame.
That's a little bit kind of my concern is if we say, okay, we're going to use this additional money for these particular projects, if something comes up and we're not able to complete those, or once they're completed, then people say, okay, well, we should be able to go back to a cheaper assessment. But I'm open to whatever you think's best. The question is do we put a list of projects together with the mail out that's going to the membership, identifying the solar system up on the upper cabins and some of those things, where that would be one of our, that would be a priority. I have, you know, other priorities as far as things that definitely need money to finish, but what do you think?
Identification. I mean, all I'm saying, I'm not saying let's say we're going to do solar this year. We're going to do, I'm saying for an example that, because that's kind of on my brain, but I'm saying that we should come together, put our heads together and come up with a solid presentation for it, because the way it stands right now, it's just a little bit undefined. That's, I guess, is what my point is.
Well, that's kind of what I think Mariah and the group that was putting together the ballot did, was put together an explanation. So I think that's done, Kurt, to be honest with you. But if you want to modify it or add to it, then I'm certainly open to that. I just want to make sure that we don't miss the deadline on getting it out there and getting the membership input so that we can decide one way or the other.
And
if the vote comes back that most people don't want it, then I'm perfectly fine to move forward the way we have in the past. So,
I have a quick thought from, I agree in putting that letter together. I think it muddies the water if we put too much information in there. However, I do think there's a lot of value to our end of year reports where we report on all the things that were accomplished. And if I can track those things and itemize them out and say, with that additional money, here's what was done. I think for the most part, the general membership is interested in the raise because of the things they'd like to see done. And if we can show that those things were done, I think that would be the value to show that it was a good decision.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more when we get down to number 7 on the agenda. Let's jump out of turn a little bit before we turn the time over to Kurt for the property manager report. We've got the Curtises with us. They're line number 10 related to their offer, the letter that we received, offer to purchase lot 1. Just so that if they want to stay on the meeting with everybody for the rest of it, then they can, but they don't have to. So let's address the offer to purchase lot 1, and I'll kind of just summarize my feelings as far as receiving the offer and my thought process and where we were at. And then I think Clint would like to have a minute to express some of the thoughts he's had, and then we can have a discussion. The bottom line is, as we've looked at lot 1, it's certainly been a common area or a commonly owned lot, and in my opinion, historically looked kind of at as a park area. And as I expressed to Clint on the phone, although the offer was, as far as discussion-wise, brought up some good points, I personally am not terribly interested in selling lot 1. I don't know whether there's other information, Clint, that you can share with us that might change things. And any of the board members can certainly jump in and express their opinions, but we've kind of discussed it through email. And out of everybody that I heard back from, I didn't get the impression anybody was very interested in selling that lot. But Clint, you want to tell us what you're thinking?
Yes. Thank you for letting me have this opportunity. I do want to just share some of my thoughts and concerns that I have moving forward. Yes, I have heard that most of you on the board are against the sale of lot 1. However, you know, I want you to kind of hear my position on it so that you can make an unbiased decision. And maybe for a minute, if you could kind of put yourself in my shoes and kind of see where I'm coming from with it. But I do want to just, first of all, introduce myself. I'm Clint Curtis. This is my wife, Danae. We just recently purchased Lot 2. So my father-in-law's Val Cram. He owned Lot 2 and 3 upon his passing. And we've since sold Lot 3 to our Uncle Byron. And so this past spring, we were able to buy out the rest of the siblings and purchase Lot 2. And we're so happy that we did. We're so grateful to be a part of this awesome experience. I have prepared a written statement that I'd like to just read in regards to our decision to pursue the purchase of Lot 1. Now, my hopes with this statement is to help both the DSR board members and the residents of Johnny Brown, well, and all of DSR understand why we want to buy Lot 1 and possibly answer any questions that you may have in regards to this acquisition. Now, in this statement, I'd like to discuss the spring and its associated water systems and also the gravel pit, which is on Lot 1. This statement that I'm going to read is based on my best knowledge and understanding of the situation in the area. So the water for most of the Johnny Brown residents come from the spring called Oak Spring. Oak Spring is northeast of Lot 1. The actual spring itself is not on Lot 1. It's not on any DSR lot. There are two water systems that draw from the spring, the white line and the black line. Now, the white line supplies water to almost every resident using water from the spring. The white line is piped directly into the spring, which is not on the associated owned lot number one. None of the white line above ground water system is on lot one. The underground pipes run under lot one, two, three, and on down the line, servicing all those that are taking water from the white line and from that spring. Now, the black line water system was installed quite a few years earlier than the white line. The black line was built to send water to one of the first cabins that were in the Johnny Brown area, which is our family cabin, which is on lot two. Now, the black line comes from the spring, then to lot one, which runs into several holding tanks on lot one. Now, these tanks give the needed pressure for the water line. The black line system gives water to cabins on lot two and three only. Lot 3 cabin is owned by Uncle Byron. All of the black line water system, the two tanks, valves, solar panels, pumps, are all on lot 1. So this is my motivation for wanting to buy this lot. My and Uncle Byron's entire water system is on the associated owned lot number 1. Whereas none of the water system for the white line, which services the rest of Johnny Brown, is actually on lot one. Now, some of the concerns could be if we were given the privilege to buy lot one would be doing maintenance on the white line. Now, right now as it is, to access the spring, people are already having to drive through our gate on lot two, drive through lot two to get onto lot one, drive through lot one to get to the spring. We've never had a problem with anybody coming to the spring to do maintenance on the water systems. It's never been an issue. Now, the white line runs underground under almost everyone's lot, including lot two, three, and maintenance and access to the lots to do maintenance on the lines have never been an issue. Now, if we were given the privilege to purchase lot one, the residents would continue to have the access that they've always had to do maintenance on their white line. I have no plans of putting cattle on my lot or lot one, even if I were given the opportunity to buy it. They have proven to do damage to the tanks, pipes, and valves, not to mention the damage they do to the fences, contamination of water if they were to get over in the spring area. Now, lot one has a small gravel pit on the opposite end of the lot where my water system is. The gravel pit has been used for maintenance on the roads leading in and out of the Johnny Brown area, and our family's benefited a lot from the gravel pit, mainly because our lot's furthest away from the county road. The gravel pit has also allowed many of the residents to come get gravel for their own personal driveways. The gravel pit has been a huge benefit to all of the Johnny Browners, and I certainly wouldn't want to stop the use of the gravel pit. If we were given the privilege to buy lot one, I want put in the buyer's agreement that the right to use the gravel pit be granted to those in the Johnny Brown area. Or maybe our family could deed the pit over to the residents of Johnny Brown. Whatever we need to do to keep the gravel pit available for Johnny Brown, we're willing to do whatever it takes to do that. So other than the gravel pit, there's nothing on lot one except for old broken down corrals and a pond that my father-in-law Val built. Now this pond that he put in is spring overflow that's not being used in either the black or the white line. And so it's excess water and it runs down and flows into the pond. Now if we could find a way to capture the water and use it in the water systems, I'm all for that. You know, truth be told, I really don't like the water running between my tanks and causing a big muddy mess, and it makes it difficult to work on our water system. So a lot of the value on lot one has been the work of the Cram family. We built the pond, we played a major part in getting the gravel pit started, and the countless hours we've spent mending the fences. So again, my motivation for wanting lot one is the fact that our family's water system is on lot one. We're already using lot one, and lot one and two are connected. And our ancestor, Johnny Brown, homesteaded lot one. I have no hidden agenda in wanting to buy lot one. The residents of Johnny Brown will find that nothing will change when the purchase of the lot, everything would, and the access and everything would stay the same. So I personally can't see any reason for the association to keep the lot. I know that there's been discussions on putting up a fence and some other ideas that have been proposed for doing things on lot one. Truth be told, those decisions do directly affect us on lot two, because our lots are connected. And that's my worry, is so many people have so many different ideas on what to do with lot one, and our family has our water system on lot one. So we have so much to lose with decisions that are being made to in regards to lot one. Now, if the decision to sell to lot one is granted, what I don't want is the lot to be open to the highest bidder. This would totally defeat my purpose in my family asking to purchase the lot. We're open to discuss a fair price to purchase the lot. Now, please consider the opportunity for my family to buy this lot. You know, if you decide to sell you know, what I don't want is it to go to the highest bidder. If that happens, I would hope that you would help protect my water and just keep it within the association. However, my family has so much to lose, so please allow our family the opportunity to buy lot one. I feel if the shoe was on the other foot, and it was your water system, I think that most of you would be doing what I'm doing right now. If we're not allowed the privilege to purchase Lot 1 and or it stays in the association, I'd like to know the reason why you feel it necessary to hang on to Lot 1. And also, for not selling, I would like some kind of written agreement that the Black Line water system would not be compromised. So those are my reasons, and that's kind of where I'm coming from. I'd love the opportunity to answer any questions that you may have or to hear any remarks or concerns that you all have with us wanting to buy this lot.
I can go first. My reason for not wanting to sell Lot 1 is because my understanding is it's been used in the past as the kind of common area, park area, for the enjoyment of the Johnny Brown owners. And quite honestly, I just don't see any reason to sell it. It's something that the association has had since the beginning of the ranch. It's my understanding that bottom line is I just don't see any reason for the association to part with it. As far as protecting the water systems and those kind of things, we can certainly discuss that. But I'd be interested. I don't want to hog the time. I'm one of seven, so I'd love to hear. Kathy, you have a lot over in that area. I'd love to hear from you or anybody else that has any thoughts on this. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah,
you're on mute.
Let Bob.
Well, I agree with Clint in that it is an integral part of Lot 2. And if it were not sold, that it would maintain as it is right now. And if it is going to be sold, I really do believe it should go to the Cram family. So that's my belief on it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I ask a question, Clint?
We've got several people from Johnny Brown, and I told them that they should be able to have an opportunity if they have anything to say. I don't know. I'll go ahead while I'm on. You've addressed the things that you and I talked about, Clint and Danae, and I appreciate that. I don't believe that I'd like to see it sold myself, because I do like being able to go over old memories about and going and playing softball and we didn't do a whole lot, but it was a nice place to go. But I also agree with Bob that if it is to be sold, that it would be sold to them. But I would like to see it stay. Some of the concerns that I told him he's addressed, I think the biggest concern is it was for water, and if he gave us access, that would be a problem. But the gravel pit, we do maintain our roads over there, and we use that gravel pit quite a bit. We just barely got a donation of the Grizzly, so we could maintain it, and it sounds like he would allow that too. So anyway, that's my input.
Clint, you mentioned going to the highest bidder on that lot, and I have never heard, I don't know where that came from, because nobody's ever mentioned selling, wanting to buy it until you made an offer on it. I was just wondering where that came from.
Well, that possibility was put into my mind by Kathy, that could be a possibility. We've had people from other areas of Deer Springs come up and want to check out the area and get familiar with Lot 1, sent mainly up by Dale. I don't know what he would have any business be up there looking at things. I don't know Dale Clarkson. I've never met him. But he has sent people up to get familiar with Lot 1.
Well, let me explain. I had told him that more than likely, if it was to be something that was sold, they'd probably open that up to a bidder. I mean, to the highest bid. And that's why I had said that to him, that I just didn't want to see us open a can of worms. That's what I had explained to him.
Well, let me jump in here for 2 seconds. Unfortunately, and I knew Val when I was 15 years old, but bottom line is we as a board aren't doing our job unless if it's to be sold, it has to be offered out there to everybody. So as much as we may or may not want to help the Cram family out, we have a fiduciary obligation to raise whatever money if we sell it, and I'm not in favor of selling it at any price at this point. But if we were to sell it and we offered it to them without opening it up, then we would be subject to anybody that didn't get their bid heard or was willing to offer more money criticizing the association board for not doing their job. That's how it works. So if it were to be sold, it's going to have to be opened up for the possibility of other members for sure. If not the general public, that's why we have public auctions related to property and judgments all the time. It's just the way it is. So I understand the sentiment, and I'm not trying to be mean, but that's the way it is. Anybody else have any comments on wanting or not wanting to sell the property, or any concerns or questions?
Yeah, Larry, this is Joe. You got a copy, Larry? Hi, Barry. Barry.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, this is Joe Bose. I bought my lot in 1978, and believe it or not, Val was the salesman that sold me the lot. And the way it was explained on the lots that were unsold, there were like 5 association lots, and that was one of the reasons why I bought the system, because I always thought there were 5 different areas, including number 1. And I'm like you, if it's sold, we'll have to open it up to the public. And the worst thing could happen would be the highest bidder would buy it, and the controls would be out of our hands. And I'm not in favor of having that happen to the people in the Podunk area. So I'm definitely in favor of not selling Lot 1, really, at this point, under any conditions.
Any other comments or anything else? Mike, you're up.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. Hi, Clint and Danae. Hi. And hey, Bob. Good to see you again. Thanks again for programming my radios for me. I really appreciate that. And Clint and Danae, just so you know, I'm a relatively new owner. I've only been part of Deer Springs Ranch for 4 years. I bought from Dale, and when I originally bought 4 years ago, one of the things that I really liked was the fact that the association owned Lot 1, and that was, you know, kind of a place that I could go and, you know, have easy access to the areas north of there. You know, I don't believe there's any kind of development per se on that lot. Kathy, I was surprised to hear you say you were playing softball up there. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I want to emphasize is I'm not really in favor of selling it either, because when I purchased, you know, I purchased on the basis that, you know, these were, you know, part of the association property that I would have access to in the future. At the same time, having said that, I think it's critical that your interests are protected in the future if there ever is any development on Lot 1, you know, whether that's creating some kind of a camping area or, you know, for all of the association or whatever it might be, that, you know, I certainly feel very strongly that your interests as owners of Lot 2 need to be protected if that was ever to happen.
Thank you. Those are the things that I wanted to get resolved. You come in and this was our first summer spending out there without Val. I mean, really. And, you know, we just wanted to make sure that the things that were built to for the cabin and for us to go out and enjoy would be protected. So,
well, and that, I think that's something we need to look at as a board and an association to the extent we possibly can to protect the rights and the uses of each person to their lot, you know, as far as using their lot and being able to enjoy what they purchased. I think at this point in time, unless somebody has an objection, I don't think we're interested in selling the lot, and I think we just need to move forward from here and make sure that we all protect each other as far as the use of the lots that we have. Anything else anybody wants to add to the discussion? All right, not seeing anything. You guys are welcome to continue to join us, but I should have taken care of you first so you didn't have to sit around and watch if you didn't want to.
Thank you for listening, and we appreciate this opportunity, and we'll probably get off now.
Okay.
It was interesting.
Thanks, Clint, Danae.
Thank you.
All right. Kurt, we're back to you.
Yeah. I haven't seen those Clarkson boys for a long time, so it's good to see you guys. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Kurt, we're back to you on the property management report.
Okay. Cabin 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, and 10 are closed for the season. The UC water system, I got all the parts to plumb the tank the other day, and Brent and I are going to go out tomorrow over the weekend and get the plumbing done on those. And then Larry said he may be able to come out next week and also give us a hand to finish that up. The upper part of the water line is all put together. It just needs to be infused to the inch and a half line. And we didn't have the infuser at the time, so that's about a 15-minute project. The J station is closed for the season. It is, however, repaired. We had a freeze problem with it in that first freeze, and I replaced the brass valve and the cam locks. However, the main water has been turned off to it, and that'll stay off now for the season. The troughs are all done. We're having a leak below the manifold that Brent and I built. We got a bad can of glue, I think is what happened. We're both pretty convinced. So we're going to have to do a little repair on that, then I'll backfill that, and we're going to build an insulating box. Meanwhile, the backflow is disconnected and in no danger of freezing. I'm finally on firewood. Larry brought me a whole bunch down from lots he's been working on, and I started cutting on that yesterday, and I'll continue cutting through that. We should have that. I'm using that old horse trailer that was out in the generator field, and that will be stocked with firewood here in short order. The comfort stop is also closed. Gas is turned off. The store is closed for the season. And, that's about what's going on. Cows are gone, except for a few missing head.
How did the Hunt's barbecue go the other day?
It went really good. That was really a lot of fun. Robin Arnold was a musician, and God, that guy was just great. I mean, really, really good. And he played again the next night. Super guy. And everybody enjoyed the food. All the cowboys that came down and helped out were a lot of fun and very helpful, and just a good bunch of people.
Good. And when they left the cabins, did they leave them in pretty good shape?
Yeah, they left him in really good shape. They also go around and you know, they helped clean up after the party beforehand. I mean, they're all just helping on stuff around there. They didn't use any of the ranch supplies on the cabins. Yeah, they ended up not using 9 and 10 at all because we had a spot in cabin 8, so we put them in cabin 8. And so Brent and I shut down 9 and 10.
And I should be getting those heaters for the two cabins here in the next few days. We'll have to figure out how to get those and the window screens to you.
Yeah, I know. That's been a challenge.
Okay, well, I'll figure out how to get them over to you. Anything else you want to report before we start asking questions?
Not offhand.
Okay, any questions for Kurt? Doesn't look like it. Looks like we're on 6, down to me. So, Kurt, I have several things to discuss with you as property manager, and hopefully you don't feel too criticized, but hopefully you get enough feedback from the members of the good things you're doing, but there's some things that we want to improve on and take care of and fix as far as how we're operating. And then we've discussed in the executive session as far as what we want to do next year and where we're at. So are you ready?
Yep.
Anybody can jump in as they want, but we've received and discussed a few things that I think are issues that need to be fixed or improved moving forward. And I don't want to have this sound too negative because we certainly appreciate what you're doing and you're doing a fantastic job, but we need to continue to make improvement as time goes on. So the first thing is that we've discussed a little bit, and again, I'm not going to identify where this information came from just because I don't think that's important. I think it's important that we just talk about what needs to be done and make sure that you're comfortable with handling those things or if you have questions or concerns. But it's been brought to our attention, and we've discussed as a board a little bit. We seem to be running you really thin as far as finishing projects that we've started but haven't finished. For example, the final deck and railing and those kind of things on cabin 7. How do you feel as far as your time? We're going to make an effort to try to narrow what we're asking you to do and to try to avoid or having other people avoid sidetracking you on things, but there are certain jobs that need to be done that have been outstanding for quite a while, and I know we've had other priorities with water systems breaking and that kind of stuff, but tell me where we're at on cabin 7, for example, finishing that up.
Well, I intended right after the meeting to start the annual meeting to finally get to the deck. And then we jumped into the water troughs where I jumped on board with Brad to do that. And then we ended up with the upper water system. My plan is to tackle the deck on cabin 7, this next week. In addition, I volunteered on cabin 7. And I did the concrete countertops in cabin 7, and I did the deck, and I need to finish the deck on cabin 7. On cabin 7, that is not in my realm of volunteering, is the upstairs closet still needs a shelf. I don't know, Kathy, did any finish get put on the wood in cabin 7?
Finish wood? I think it's pretty close. What I've got shown, and I made this list when this letter came because that was brought up, and I thought I better have a kind of a list of what needed to be completed. The stairway at handrail, and we had the handrail, and I don't know if it got thrown away, but we can't find it. So I had talked to you about maybe building one, and you said you thought you could. So we probably need to. I did have Linda.
Maybe you should have Scott do that or you do that.
Okay, I can ask him about that. Yeah. We've got a metal plate lock in the bathroom that was brought to my attention by one of the members mm-hmm. that needs to be fixed. And so I can ask Scott. and the water heater door. Scott is possibly going up in the next couple of days, and he needs to bring some of that TNG home. Do you have it still in the trailer, or where's that at?
Still in the trailer.
It's all in the, it's a trailer at the headquarters. He can come and pick that up. Okay. Scott, I can see you're there, so you can pick up what you need for doing, finishing that door. The back patio, the front door, deck needed, the front door deck needed to be completed. The screen doors, I was told, is, we fixed them, but I guess they just aren't staying on. And then there's some electric plugs that were brought up a couple of meetings ago that some of them weren't working. So, when you guys changed out that, breaker box, do they tend to be working okay now? Did you notice?
I put in a new breaker on cabin 7. It's a three breaker box with four breakers on it. And it's rigged up again the way it was. Jeff picked up a four breaker box for us that hasn't been installed yet. That's on my punch list of things to go over with Brent. We're going to get together this weekend.
Okay. So we should be able to get them finished. I'll have to talk to Scott about that, railing.
As far as I know, the only thing that I'm responsible for on Cabin 7's remodel is the deck, and I will get that done.
And then, did we get the, I think that cement, countertop, was that going to be sealed up again, or was that
finished? Everything's done on the countertops.
Okay, all right.
And
it just brought to my attention.
You asked me to get you some caulking last May, and that's I got that last May, so that's still there. The big stretch for the pine, and I didn't. Is the pine sealed?
Yeah, it should be. We I don't know if the last coat got put on, but the majority, I think there was some trim that did not get sealed, but everything else has got sealed.
Okay, because I'd hate to see the hard work go to waste. That's all I got on 7.
Okay. Well, I think what I want to get at on this point is some of these things like you've done, and I think we need to separate a little bit from the volunteer work as opposed to what your responsibilities are as the property manager. And some of these things where we're stretching you thin with a lot of other things, some of the stuff has to be assigned out or hired out to somebody else. So we're going to look at you, Kurt, in managing things to tell us to some extent what we should be having somebody else do or what we can get done, what's reasonable, because you're going to continue to have priorities. And just for an example, I know you spent a lot of time on the cattle watering system. And quite honestly, that wasn't necessarily, I'm glad you did it, but that wasn't necessarily your job. The upper water system is something that we didn't expect needs to be completed. And some of those things, firewood at this point in time takes priority over other things. So we have confidence in you, but you're going to have to manage the priorities because no one can tell. I'm not there on the ground, and you're going to have to tell us I can get this done or I can't get that done, or that's outside of the scope of what I'm anticipating doing, so that we know when we have to get somebody else involved or what we need to do. The second thing that I wanted to talk to you about that's a challenge a little bit is it relates back to the water troughs and some of Brad's projects. And that is with each one of these tasks, then there's been set up a committee to handle those kind of things. And I think you have the personality where you want to charge off and you want to get things done. And that's fantastic. I don't want to criticize you there, but you need to involve the committees that are set up to handle those things so that we can assist you and make sure we're in the loop. For example, with cabin reservations and those kind of things, Kathy needs to be involved in the discussion. Mariah has said that your meetings are going fantastic. The reservations this year have gone very smoothly. We need to make sure that Kathy's involved in that discussion so that she feels involved in and can report back to the board as under her stewardship under the cabins. I need to be involved, and Mike, to the extent we can be, on anything related to water. And this is no criticism of you, Kurt.
No, I'm not taking it that way.
We need to get to the point where we don't do a project until we have a budget in place. And I know this is what you've been harping on all along. But we need to look at, for example, the Half Moon Reservoir project. We need a budget. We need to approve it, and we need to run it by the committee and then the board before we take any action moving forward. I know Brad's anxious to get those things done, but unfortunately, they can't be done until we have the proper approvals and people involved. And so we need to be careful on that. So there's the water committee. There's now the agricultural committee that we set up in the last meeting, and that's a new committee. But we need to be involved. That committee needs to be involved in the discussions with what Brad's telling you to do, just to make sure we're all on the same page. Not that what Brad's telling you is wrong, but it may have a different priority for him than it does for us.
Well, I have put Brad on hold on everything, and I've explained all of this to him. The reason I jumped in on the trough system is because he was going. And I felt that somebody needed to know what was going on with that.
No question about it, and it's a good thing.
I'm just explaining to you. So I went in there and did that, and if you look on the Google Docs, every dime that was reported to me via Brad is on there. And, I mean, that's as close as we've got as far as weed abatement and other things going on. I haven't talked to anybody about those. The guy that I'm is going to help me with the chemicals has COVID, and so he's been unresponsive to calls, and so I haven't had any luck with that department. And there's a couple of different angles. I just want to get some solid answers and numbers, and then I'll be glad to present it to everybody. I just want to have the information that you're going to ask me for. I don't have it right now.
Well, and this is as much for your protection as anybody, but bottom line is we shouldn't be spending money unless Joe as treasurer and I and Mariah have at least reviewed it beforehand. So, and I know you're working that direction.
That's the direction we're working in. I want to, Mariah and I just had this discussion this morning, regarding how to cost out a project properly and how to track the expenses on it. And I think it's important that, I am the number one preacher of that, but I'm just trying to make sense out of the NRCS program. And that's been a little bit withheld, and it's slowly coming together.
And I know it's a little difficult with the adjustment or the change with Brad going off the board, but you need to rely on your finance committee and the agriculture committee to say, Brad, I can't do that until we run it by those that are involved in that
right.
committee and approve it, just so we can slow down a little bit and we know what we're doing before we're halfway through it.
Right. I haven't spent a dime on anything but what Brad spent and requested to get reimbursed for. So,
well, and we're going to have to straighten some of those things out, because I think there's an expectation he's going to get reimbursed for things that weren't approved or discussed. They may be necessary, and the projects that we're working on are worthwhile, but we need to be responsible to answer to the members, and rather than having the tail wag the dog. That's, and again, no criticism to Brad. He just has different priorities than what we have. And other members are going to have other priorities. They're going to come to you and say, I need this done. And you need to be able to rely on us to say, no, I need to run that by the board, or at least the committee that's over that area, before I jump on it. That will allow you to continue to work on things that you think are a priority, rather than getting dragged in 100 different directions. So Anybody else have anything else as far as advice or instructions for Kurt? And then I'd like to talk a little bit about our plan for next year that we talked about in the executive committee. Nobody's jumping on. So, Kurt, we've talked about in the executive committee, we would like to continue your contract through 2021. With very, very few exceptions, we're very happy with what you're doing. We'd like to help you to remain focused on moving things forward. We would like to see, you've been working on getting systems in place for this last year. We just need to finalize and put the final touches on those so that we're all up to speed, whether that's, you know, getting through the Google Docs and the accounting procedures of getting things approved. We'd like to see you continue on those things and get them to the point where we're all comfortable and on the same page. But we would like to, and I don't need an answer today, I'd like to by our next meeting, but we'd like to continue your contract. And so if you wouldn't mind considering that and letting us know, we hope you're happy with what you're doing. You seem to be, and you seem to be doing a great job as far as keeping members happy and things that are happening. So again, I don't want any of this to reflect negatively, but we all need to work together to continue to improve things. So any thoughts on your continued, contract through 2021?
Well, I just want to kind of do a reset on why I'm here, just so everybody who wasn't here last year. And Jacobson Management was hired with the goal of getting boots on the ground to isolate problems, implement procedures, and hopefully eliminate the constant turnover that has been occurring. In reality, looking at the past turnover, it's not quite as severe as I've heard, but still there are problems. Basically creating a bridge between the boots on the ground and the board, which is, my involvement on the board is instrumental in this process. And that's what I'm doing. And, you know, Sometimes I get my arms around a little bit much, but I always get it done. I think we've got a lot of big projects taken care of this year. The water line in the upper cabins. There's not a soul that says that thing should have been replaced 20 years ago. And it's finally done. And I think I had a twofold reason for wanting to do that. One is to stop having to fix it all the time. And two, the failed water tests tend to coincide with low occupancy in the upper cabins, which means that water's on those exposed pipes are sitting in the sun and cooking and creating negative results on our health department tests. So hopefully next year we won't have that problem with the new system in place. Firewood. Yeah, boy, I hate being behind on firewood. I got plenty of firewood to get through right now, and then it's just pretty much the ranch house I'll need firewood for. But we will have this year we'll be stocked up for next year. So, yeah, I would like to continue in 2021. I will want to have a phone call with you first.
Okay.
If that's
what I'd like to do is have you confirm. We can talk on the phone, but in the next meeting, then I think we'll have a formal vote to extend that contract. I just wanted to give you the heads up. That's the direction we're going, and that's what we want to do. And hopefully you're interested in doing that and working with us on it. Okay?
Okay.
Anybody have anything else to add to Kurt's property management or anything else that you want to suggest?
Yeah, Barry, I have a bit of a question. You had mentioned in the items that you'd like to see improvement or progress made on with Kurt. You had mentioned that people need to be involved in the reservations, and I guess I'm a little confused about what exactly that means, because Mariah and Kurt and I have been holding weekly meetings the whole summer and on into the winter about what the reservations are and how the cabins are going to get cleaned and maintained and that kind of stuff. And Kathy has been part of those meetings. So is there something else that Kathy or somebody else needs to be involved in that isn't already?
That was an example I used of the cabin reservation. Kathy certainly needs to be involved because that's her area. And at the end of the day, then she's the one that the board looks at to handle that. The water committee is another area. Anything related to water, we really need to sit down and include Vance and Brent and myself and Jeff Mickelson and Mike. And we've done that pretty well, although some decisions still come to me as a surprise that as to where we're at. The agriculture is probably the biggest area where we need to have more discussions before we start working or continue working things. On a ranch, it's normal to say, okay, here's the job, and we go to work and get it done. Unfortunately, this is not just a normal ranch operation. We have to have discussions so that we don't get sideways with the members or with the budget in deciding what projects we're going to take. There are a lot of people involved, and so we can't just charge forward. So as long as, I mean, from the cabin side of things, as long as you guys are involving Kathy in those discussions so that she feels part of it, I don't have a problem. Go ahead.
We started the 8 o'clock Monday morning meetings back in March. Kathy attended one meeting in the beginning, and then a couple of weeks ago started attending them again. But it has been very consistent that every Monday at 8 a.m., and everybody knows that we're on the phone and we're discussing last week's reservations, this week's reservations, and next week's reservations. And it's been very consistent.
Well, and I'm glad you're having those meetings. I just want to make sure that I want to make sure that Kathy's involved. And Kathy, I need you to be involved, and I need to be more involved in the other areas for now. And then related to when we get in the spring and start doing more cabin renovations and improvements, then Kathy's going to have to be involved in that on the lower end, and Joe on the northern. I'm just asking as we move forward that we have a complete loop of communication with those that are responsible.
So nobody's left out. I was put over cabin renovations. Was that not?
I thought you were. I'm not sure.
What I thought too. I thought I was put over cabin reservations.
No, renovations. Okay.
Did we take that from Joe and from Kathy? Remind me.
The cabins upper and lower. He's over the renovations. I'm over the reservations.
Okay. All right. Well, if that's your area, then you can certainly have a meeting with yourself and just keep us informed on what's going on.
I'm sorry. My question was actually narrower than it was interpreted, and I just wanted to make sure, because Kathy didn't mention that she's been in those meetings, if there's another meeting or if there's some other reservation information that she's not getting that she still needs.
No, Cindy, I just had found out a couple of weeks ago that you guys were meeting. It used to be on Wednesdays with the Hunts, and I had started that when I was on reservation. And I think I attended one meeting, but at that point in time, it was not decided when it was going to be. And so I did not know about the reservations meeting when you guys were meeting. And I didn't know what was going on. And so
they have always been on Mondays at 8 o'clock.
Well, that's good to know now. So, yeah, we'll be there.
I just want to make sure that moving forward, you're getting the information you need and you're being involved.
That's
Great, and I appreciate what you guys have done. Cindy, you've done a great job on the spreadsheets. I mentioned that in the email, and I really appreciate it. It's just
okay. Just want to make sure going forward you are getting what you need.
Yes.
Cool.
Hey, I think we beat that horse to death.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the balance of the agenda real quick. I think we can get through most of the stuff fairly quickly. I have to go. My kids get married tomorrow, so I probably ought to be hanging out with family. So, okay. So number seven, approval of ballot. Has everybody had a chance to look over the proposed ballot put together by Mariah and her committee as far as raising the association dues? And does anybody have any comments other than what we already discussed of possibly adding a list of proposed projects to it? Nope. Okay.
I don't think so.
I looked it over. I think I would propose that we go ahead and get that sent out sooner rather than later so that we get the input. And if necessary, that we have a short meeting in December to discuss and approve whether we are or are not going to raise the assessments for next year so that it's done. I'll call for a motion, or actually it's easier. Does anybody object to that or feel like we should not do that? Doesn't look like it. So, Mariah, would you go ahead and finalize that? That explanation, I think you called it a pamphlet, and then the ballot so that it can be sent out. I think your due date on it was December 4th or something. Let's talk about at the end, we'll talk about whether we do or how we have a meeting in December to discuss that. But that we will need to have those results in by whatever that date is.
Yeah, that was my thought. It was going to be in so we'd have time to tabulate and have it back by the second Saturday in December, anticipating a meeting. So I can have all that information back and compiled as soon as possible.
Let's go ahead and use that date and have it. And what I'm suggesting is that once you have that, that you simply send it to all of us in an email, and then we can vote by email I just hate to have a meeting in December. Is there any way we can get away with not having that?
If you send out the ballots, we can discuss. Well, how would we, if we didn't have a meeting in December, how are we going to confirm the ballots and make the proposal? That will be done via Mariah?
We would have to have the unanimous vote by, we would have to have everyone vote. Doesn't have to be unanimous, but we'd have to have everybody vote by email. We could do that under Utah law. You can have a vote by email as long as everybody participates, and then Mariah would know what to put in her end of the year billing statement.
So if I understand correctly, we'll receive all the ballots back. They'll either be in favor of or against, and then the board will have the final vote on whether we accept or decline.
Yes, the board is the entity with the power to make that decision. The vote of the members is only to inform us as to their desire. It's not binding. So once we get the vote back from the membership, you would send us all an email saying it's X number of votes for, X number of votes against, or whatever, and then we as the board need to vote whether we want to raise the assessments or not.
Would you want me to, because I would be counting that by myself, whereas in other meetings I would be counting with the committee, would I want to have that counting happen with someone administrating it as an oversee over Zoom while I count those, just being present?
You're not a member, you're an employee, and I fully trust that you can count the number of ballots without somebody looking over your shoulder.
Okay.
You have nothing, no vested interest in for or against, so.
Take over the account in Michigan, too, while you're at it.
All $5 billion.
Okay, so unless there's an objection, we're going to go ahead. send out the ballots to the members, gather those in by the 4th of December, and then we will communicate by email after that date to decide whether we vote for or against raising the assessments. That will give you the information you need to send out the end of the year billing. Does that work? Any objections? Joe, you still awake?
I had to unmute it. Yes, I'm wide awake.
All right, good. Okay. Kathy, you want to take a minute on the fence project in Podunk?
Yeah, I'm working with Alan Bates, and I visited with him today, and he is drafting up a new map for us. There's the upper and the lower fencing of Johnny Brown. And there was a question, there's definitely some problems with the fence, and there's a question on who's responsible. Where there's a fence in between, and you've got BLM on both sides, that is an allotment responsibility. Whether that would be Deer Springs Ranch allotment, or if that would be Brinkerhoff or Lefevre's or Hamblin's. He is going to draft it up. He's going to hold a meeting with them and discuss that. He's going to try to have that done by January. And then he is also going to do a color code on this map of the allotment and who is responsible for the fence. I asked him to do the ownerships of private ownership, and he said he would do that also. And that way we can take that. And he's hoping that we've got about 2 months before the cattle get out there that we can try to get this fencing taken care of. He'll give us 50 posts and some wire. And then after that, he says that he'd probably be able to get us some more if needed. But there's definitely going to be needed. There's some problems on the lower part of the south and the north of Tony Brown.
I'm trying to formulate why the board's involved in BLM fencing. Is this does this take care of the fencing problem once and for all in Podunk?
Whoever's responsible takes care of their fence, because that's where the cows are coming in.
They can get in at?
No. Not that I'm aware of. It's those uppers. We walked it, and we walked all of it. The one that does not have the fencing is on the west side, and that does because it's such steep incline, and we have never had cows going over there other than on lot 19. And so that is that would take care of the southern. But anyway, that's what he has said, and he said whoever is responsible on those allotments, and he said that he would get me, and he would also get Mariah and Kurt a map when he gets that done, and then we'll have that for the board.
Yeah, just keep us informed as you get information, and then if whatever's our responsibility, then we'll look at including in the budget and getting somebody out there to use the posts and wiring and stuff they supply us, plus whatever else we have to do to get it done.
Okay. Sounds good.
Any other questions on lot one fencing? Joe, do you want to talk about closure of the cowboy cabins or the cabins to the cowboys? I'm not sure what that's about.
Well, I was talking to Brent and a little bit to Kurt, and it came to me the discussion was the weather got cold and they were winterizing the cabins, and all of a sudden the cowboys are coming and we have to unwinterize them. It would seem to me that we should set a section where they don't come after a specific time, so we don't have to winterize, unwinterize, and take a chance on damaging our water lines. If they're going to show up so late in the season, maybe they should be responsible to bring their own RV campers or something. I just don't think it's fair to Kurt and Brent and everybody up there to keep these cabins open when it gets below freezing. That's the only thing I was concerned about.
I agree.
Joe, I can address you on that. what happened with that, we had not closed yet 9 and 10, and Tammy came to me and said, Kurt, I screwed up. I needed more cabins, and I just made a mistake. Is there any way possible we can hold this off? And they went and they brought a bunch of buddy heaters for cabin 9 and 10, and they kept the water moving through the freeze area. We didn't have any problems. And that was an instance. And, you know, this is my first year through everything. And a lot of what I do the first year is I have to do a lot of observations. And that won't happen again. And we ended up not even using them anyhow. And then Brett and I went and closed them and, you know, but I appreciate the concern on that because it is, I do have plenty of other things to worry about, but, that's kind of what happened on that.
Yeah. See, I don't have a problem with that.
They bring all their own linens. They bring all their own stuff and they leave the cabins cleaner than they found them. Tammy makes sure of that. She goes through every cabin, anything anybody touches. They all have their own sleeping bags, and some of them did have their own cameras.
You see, I don't have a problem with them using the cabins when it's cold, but I just said thinking that it should be simplified, and if they're going to bring the time up at that area, they should bring their own buddy heaters, and we shouldn't have to, you know, take care of the freezing of the pipes, but.
Yeah,
if we got it under control, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, they did. And thanks for checking on that because I know you always got my back.
All right, sounds good. Let's go through and see if anybody – I don't have anything else to discuss other than encouraging each one of you to get together with Mariah at some point in time in December and discussing what you've got as far as a budget, what you'd like to see as far as a budget. Mariah, do you need anything else from me on budget stuff?
I had you unmuted and I muted you. I think the primary thing is on those forms that I send, a lot of it is maintenance money that is stuff that I can put in. It's just repetitive rollover, same kind of thing every year. I think what I'm really looking for is a list of special projects and how much money you think you need to have to accomplish those projects. So I guess, Barry, to answer your question, if there's anything on the water system like Half Moon Well that you want to have done this year, itemize it, and how much do you think you need?
Yeah, I put that on the ones I sent to you, the Half Moon Reservoir, the upper cabin water system, possibly connecting to the Meadow Canyon spring system and some of those kind of things. So we can discuss that when we get to that time. And if you'll help me and everyone else on maintenance items as to what we spent last year, we've saved quite a bit of money in fuel this year. I don't think we're going to be able to continue to save that much. So we need to be reasonable in what we budget on some of those things. But if you help one of us, that would be great.
We're going to need diesel and, on gasoline, I was going to recommend, because we still have plenty, was to hold off on gasoline until we install that new gas tank.
Well, we can work on the timing. I just need to make sure, since I'm over that area, that I have the right numbers so that you don't get to June and I have to tell you no more fuel, you're going to have to walk everywhere. So that's my only answer. All right, Kurt, you got anything else to add?
Nope.
Let's see. Kathy, you got anything else to add? Okay. Joe, anything else you need to add? I guess Joe doesn't have anything else to add. Mike, you're next. Anything you want to add?
Just a couple of things, and I think Joe just unmuted himself. Joe, did you have anything you wanted to add before me?
Yeah, you'd be smarty. Huh? You caught me muting. No, I said no. I saw my red line was through my phone, so no, all I have nothing to add.
Well, I just want to take 1 minute. I'm on 3 committees. I'm on water with Barry and a lot of other folks. I'm on agriculture with Kurt and Kathy, and cabin renovations with Kurt. And a few weeks ago, I spent the better part of a day up there with Kurt and Larry and Brent and a few others. On the upper cabin water system, I was actually physically pulling line down the hill and you know, down the road into the trough, and it was a whole lot of fun. And I look forward to doing a whole lot more of that kind of thing in the future to help out. I haven't done anything on agriculture or cabin renovations yet. Kurt did take me into Cabin 6 when I was up there a couple of weeks ago, kind of showed me what his ideas and thoughts were, so I look forward to working with him, try to get all the cabin renovations things dialed in and accomplished as early in the year as we can. So that's it.
As the weather gets warmer, there'll be plenty for you to do, so enjoy the lull right now while it's cold. So
I'm looking forward to it.
Larry, you got anything else to add?
My only question is we put a lot of our little projects on hold this year. What happens to that money? Do we still get that money plus what we need next year to double dose it next year?
Well, the point was to get a year forward so we're able to write budgets on money that's in the bank and not money that we hope to collect.
So the short answer is, Larry, you need to put in your budget next year whatever you need to do whatever projects you have next year. The money's not gonna roll over, but you're not prohibited from including what you need in your next year's budget. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So whatever your budget is next year, just include what you need to finish all the projects that you need, whether they're maintenance issues or special projects. All right, Mariah, tell us what
the one in particular I was thinking of was. I'm good.
Mariah, tell us what the second and third Saturdays of January are, and let's talk about what works.
Second Saturday is January 9th, and the third Saturday is January 16th.
Anybody have a preference on whether we have it on the 9th or the 16th? I would prefer the 16th myself.
I would prefer the 16th.
That's fine.
Okay, we're gonna do this again on Zoom. Would you prefer to have it on a Friday afternoon like this or Saturday? I like Friday afternoon because I have plenty of stuff to do on Saturday.
Yeah, Friday's great for me.
So executive session at 3:30 on the Friday the 15th, and the general board meeting at 4:00 on Zoom on the 15th.
Okay.
Any objections?
No.
No.
Fantastic. Unless there's something else that any members want to bring up, then I'm done and ready to go hang out.
Hey, maybe one thing. Mike, maybe I could get you to come and help me finish up with Cabin 7. You've got a possibility there. We might have to open it up a weekend and just get it done, break through and get it done. That'd be great.
I would be happy to come and help. And Barry, I can't believe that you're sitting here with us doing this when you've got one of your kids getting married tomorrow. That's amazing.
Really?
I'm trying to avoid my wife's family for a little longer.
Well,
I'm going to sign off. Thank you all for everything, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll see you.
See you guys.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.